listening to CJSF 90.1 FM, SFU Burnaby.
You are listening to CJSF 90.1 FM and CJSF.ca because you are better than most people. Thank you.
Welcome to week 576 of the Rockin' Blues Show. I'm your host, Brent Morrison, coming at you all the way from Vancouver, Canada, on the unceded Coast Salish territory. I'll be here for the next 2 hours playing the best in rock and blues music from across Canada and around the world. This is my 11th annual all-women show in honor of International Women's Day. Usually I do this show the weekend before the day, but for the second year in a row, my timing's been off. I don't know if I need a new calendar or a new alarm clock, something. This week also features my three-part interview with Canadian blues artist Layla Zoe. But I'll get things started off with the legendary Blues Hall of Famer Big Mama Thornton. From her 1966 debut album, In Europe, featuring Buddy Guy on guitar, Eddie Boyd on organ, Jimmy Lee Robinson on bass, Fred Below on drums, and Big Walter Horton and Big Mama Thornton on harmonicas, this is the instrumental Down Home Shakedown.
Talk about be the only one in your dream.
Dreams.
Closing out our opening set of rockin' blues music from her new release, Waiting for the Daylight, we had Finland's Arja Lehtinen with Bad Seed. Before that, from her 2017 solo debut, we had the 2018 Maple Blues Award winner for New Artist of the Year, Ontario's Emily Burgess with Only One in Your Dreams. And I got this week's Rockin' Blues show started off with the legendary Big Mama Thornton and the instrumental Down Home Shakedown from her 1966 debut album, In Europe. This is the Rockin' Blues Show, and I'm your host, Brent Morrison. This is my 11th annual all-women show in honor of International Women's Day. Marked annually on March 8th, International Women's Day is one of the most important days of the year to celebrate women's achievements, raise awareness about women's equality, lobby for accelerated gender parity, and fundraise for female-focused charities. Starting off this set, the first part of my three-part interview with Canadian blues artist Layla Zoe. I've got Canada's Layla Zoe on the phone from her home in the Netherlands. How are things going out there tonight?
Well, it's nice to finally touch base with you. I know we were trying to find a way of doing this, and it turns out technology's on our side tonight.
Finally. So,
yeah, and actually things are crazy here, to be honest, because I'm going on tour for the first time in 3 years, starting next week. And that obviously takes so much preparation, not only for myself physically, vocally, but also just when it comes to packing. And my husband works away during the weekdays. And so this was our last weekend to really bring like all the merchandise down from the attic and get everything organized and like the heavy suitcases. And I'm also bringing my dogs on tour, and I have a lot of stuff to organize for them. And then, of course, on Saturday, we went to go out for our last dinner together and the car didn't start. So it's, you know, it's rock and roll over here as usual, Brent.
Wow. Yeah, I saw that. You got 30 shows coming up between now and the end of April?
I have 34 shows between, March 10, basically, and May 6 or something. I have 10 days off in between the two tour legs. And of course, there's little days off here and there, but it's definitely going to be a vocal workout because it's been a long time since I was touring. And especially with taking the dogs with me, that'll be a whole new element. So I'm actually really excited about it. But of course, there's also some nerves and everything, but it'll be good to get back on stage. I think for myself, after such a long break, it's time, you know.
How big is the band going to be?
I always go with a three-piece band. It's been so many years now where I just work with a three-piece band. Not only financially, it makes sense. I have a tour manager always, you know, drums, bass, and guitar. But on the last tour in 2019, 2020, I had Paul Jobson, and he's playing with me again. And he plays bass and keys. So that means that, you know, he can alternate on those instruments, which really helps with wanting to sometimes do something like, you know, on the last tour I did, I Shall Be Released, a really nice version with him playing piano. So It helps when you have somebody that's multi-instrumental and diverse like that. But I'm excited to go out with those guys again because they do a great job.
Excellent. Your new album, The World Could Change, it's huge, double album, 12 songs, 72 minutes. You released it on November 11th, same day Steve Hill released his new album, Dear Illusion.
I know, and that's cool. Steve and I are friends, and actually the last time that he came out to the Netherlands, my husband and I went to see him, and my mom was visiting for the first time, and that was so wonderful to have her here for 2 weeks, and I thought, you know, the day she leaves, I might be feeling a bit down or whatever, and I don't know if I'll make it out to see him. But then we thought, you know, fuck it, like, when's the last time that he came out to the Netherlands and I had the chance to visit with him, because it's been a lot of years since he and I had seen each other. So I went to visit him at a venue that I play often that's only about 20 minutes, half an hour from our place, and that was great. I mean, Steve is incredibly talented. He's definitely one of the best guitar players in Canada.
Oh, yeah. The only two interviews I've done so far this year was him a few weeks ago and you, so I guess I'm catching up on my Remembrance Day albums.
Well, you're supporting some good talent then, because Steve really, you know, he has worked very hard and he's got a long-standing career and he deserves his success.
Mm-hmm. I think he said he met his drummer on this album through you, Wayne Proctor.
Oh, that's funny. Oh, that's we both know Wayne. And Wayne's great. I mean, he played with King for many years. Now he's doing other projects like with Ollie Brown. And, you know, he's also doing production. I think he has a studio that he works from. He's very talented. So that's great if he did make that connection through me. I didn't know that, but I knew that they had worked together on this album. And that's wonderful because Wayne is super talented. He's in the UK.
Oh, yeah. He's like been drummer of the year a bunch of times. And, you know, Steve's usually playing the kick drum and hitting the hi-hat with the drumstick he's got taped to his guitar usually.
You know, I've known Steve for a long time. I mean, we became close friends when I was living in Montreal, and he had a band back then, but it was just difficult to make ends meet with a big band. And it's nice to see him be able to go back now and have a band, you know, for this album, but also for some of his gigs. because he decided at some point to go solo, and he does an incredible job. He's one of the best solo musicians I've seen when it comes to a one-man band, because a lot of the one-man band stuff is a bit hokey, but he does a great job, and it's not hokey at all. It's like pure talent, you know? Mm-hmm. So I'm happy for him that he's able to now also bring back the musicians and do the band thing, because obviously he plays very differently on the guitar when he's playing with the band than when he's doing the solo one-man band thing, you know?
Yeah. The World Could Change, it's your 14th album. Does it seem like it's been 14 albums?
I don't even know which album it is. I mean, I think it's like 16 or something. But the thing is, I include all of those albums with Roof Records, like the Blues Caravan. And like, I have one that was a compilation album. And yeah, I think it's like 16 or something. When I look on my website, I'm always like, for me, it's weird, like to look back and see all those records. And every record is such a journey, such an adventure, and always is talking about what I'm feeling or what's going on at the time for me in my life. And definitely since 2020, I was on tour in March of 2020 and managed to do most of the tour dates. And all of a sudden, things started to get canceled. We still did some shows. Even when we weren't sure exactly what was going on, there was promoters that decided to go ahead and do the show. I mean, I remember a show, there was only 15 people there or something, and we started to realize that in Germany that something was really happening. Mm. And then there's another funny story of being on tour. We were in Austria, and the show got canceled at the last minute. We were still at our hotel. The show was supposed to be that night. And we realized that they were actually going to close the border between Austria and Germany. So we needed to get out of the country like quickly, you know. And wow. So I was like, calling everybody saying like, you need to meet at the van in 15 minutes, you know, and the guitar player wasn't answering, you know, he was probably asleep or something in his room. And it was just really hectic, but like, what an adventure. But in the end, it was the right decision that I told everybody we need to get out now, because the last few shows were in Germany. And obviously most of the people were living either in Germany or the Netherlands that I was working with. So it made sense. We got out of Austria just in time. But as we were driving out, we could see they were setting up some kind of blockades. There isn't really strict borders in Europe, as most people know. Switzerland has a lot of them, but you could see they'd set up big tents and blockades, and there was guys with guns. And, you know, wow. It was just so surreal. And then when I got home and, you know, some shows had been canceled, I had no idea at that time that that would be my last tour for 3 years, you know?
Mm-hmm. Wow.
The World Could Change, it really talks about everything that I experienced and perceived over those 3 years. There's songs about my niece, like Honey Pie. There's a song about, you know, my friend Leighton, who passed away of a drug overdose a few years ago in Stratford, Ontario. That's the song Brother. There's assorted songs about other things, like Dark Heart, about an alcoholic guitar player that I dated years ago before I met my husband. And Jasmine is actually a song about my little dog, Jazzy, which, you know, everybody listens to songs and they perceive it their own way. And that's the whole purpose of art, is that you perceive it and you get from it what you want to get from it, you know. But the rest of the songs on the album are written definitely with some clear messages about my perspective and feelings about what happened over the last 3 years. And I feel really proud of that record, but mostly I'm really grateful that I was able to work with Henrik Freischlatter again on this album specifically, because he always gives you absolute freedom to say what you want to say through the lyrics. And he never tries to convince you or alter anything when it comes to your artistic vision for the record. Not only that, he's a fantastic musician, multi-instrumentalist. He played all the instruments on the album, except for the Hammond organ, where he brought in his organ player, Moritz Fuhrhopp, who's incredible. So I'm really proud of the record, and it's had such great reviews and a lot of radio play already. And I am very happy with what we did together.
Generic Alternative Presence. It's super cool and sophisticated listeners and indie-packed alternative rock with a splash of electronic dancing music. As an added bonus, some generically alternative facts and far-reaching tidbit information will delight your eardrums. Tune in Mondays at 2 p.m. right here on CJSF 90.1 FM.
I guess this is what the first time you guys have worked together since The Lily, which was 9 years ago?
After The Lily came the Spirit of 66 album, which was a double live album. We started actually working on an album together after the Live at Spirit of 66 record, and we started writing some songs together, but then we decided to cancel that project and go our separate ways because we kind of wanted different things at that time. So actually, it's funny because some of the demos that we worked on back in 2015 ended up on this record. There's about 4 songs, I guess, that ended up on the new album. A few of the songs, the lyrics were unchanged. So one of those tracks is Dark Heart, and one of those tracks is The Man Behind the Curtain. No lyrics were changed from when I wrote it in 2015, but when it was released in 2022. So it's just crazy because that song, you know, it really suited the album and what I wanted to say. So I thought, how funny that this song wasn't meant to come out and didn't end up released in 2015, but then ended up coming out now at the perfect time, you know?
Yeah.
And Dark Heart, we also wrote back in 2015, and we also wrote Brother together, but it had different lyrics, and I had called it something else, and I rewrote the song with the music that he had written back then with the new lyrics for Brother. So, but the rest of the tracks were written for this album specifically. That was quite an interesting journey to get back in touch with him and for us to decide to make a record. And when we went back and listened to some of the demos, you know, they made more sense to be released now. So that was cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I mean, Dark Heart is the opening track on the album. I mean, it's just this great blues rocker. I mean, it's got greasy guitar work and you're just blowing the vocals out of the water. Was that a no-brainer to be the opening track?
For me, because I get to choose the order of the songs, and Henrik actually doesn't interfere with that either. I mean, he always has some suggestions, but when I say that I really like an order, because he knows that I put a lot of time into it. So many people now, they don't give a shit about the order because they think, well, it's all about singles and everybody's listening on Spotify. But for me, because I'm still kind of an old school girl as far as listening to vinyl LPs and being all about the journey that a musician takes me on. Mm-hmm. And I think that's really important, that when you work on the order of the album, it's incredibly important still for those people that do like to listen to an album as an entire album, not just as a track here and there.
Inside, draw dead alive. Drinking to numb your.
Closing out that set from her new release, The World Could Change, we had Canada's Leila Zoe with the opening track, Dark Heart. And I got that set started off with the first part of my three-part interview with Leila Zoe. I'll have the other parts later in the show. This is the Rockin' Blues Show, and I'm your host, Brent Morrison. This is my 11th annual all-women's show in honor of International Women's Day. This year marks the 112th anniversary of the first International Women's Day events held in Austria, Denmark, Germany, and Switzerland in 1911. Starting off this set from their new release, This Is Us. This is France's Lionel Blues Gang with Boogie Woogie Broke Down.